But let's get in the mind of the Lord. Now, Paul said, I was speaking to you as spirituals. Now, let's get in the mind of the Lord. You can't realize, until you come to know God, how much trouble that a carnal mind can cause the Spirit of God. Now, if a person is a sinner, it does not conflict with God in that way. See, it just don't do it. But if a person is supposed to be a Christian, then it does conflict. And so then I'd like for you, if you are a Christian, the Bible says, blessed is the man that sins not, the seed of the scornful, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, who delighteth in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. So I want you tonight to get, you come into his gate with thanksgiving, you enter into his courts with praise. And I'd like to get an eye to do that very thing. Alright, now, in chapter 10, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that all of our fathers were under the cloud, and all things through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our example to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. And all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye might may be able to bear. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. Alright? I want you to especially take notice tonight that Paul was spiritual. Can you do that?
Amen.
Paul was spiritual. Notice in the 10th chapter of his writings, when he refers back to the Old Testament, that Paul, being spiritual, being a revelator, being the apostle to the Gentile church. I want you to get this now. Paul, the revelator, Brother John, Paul, the apostle to the Gentile church. That's the thing I'd like to soak in tonight. Paul, the apostle, not to the Jews. Paul, the apostle, to the Gentile church. Amen. Nobody ever talked like Paul taught. Peter never talked like Paul taught. Elijah never talked like Paul taught. Moses never talked like Paul taught. Why was it that Moses, Elijah, and the other great leaders did not speak as Paul did? Why? Because they were specifically sent to the Jewish people. They were ordained to go among the Jewish people. And in that they were ordained to the Jewish people, then they stayed with the Jewish people. How do you know that Jesus himself came to the Jewish people?
Right.
Come on, that's a lot of statement.
Amen.
Come to the Jewish people because he said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Is that right?
Amen.
Now, but how do you know that Christ came to the church?
That's right.
Not Jesus, but Christ came to the church. Hallelujah. Jesus came to you. But when Jesus was crucified, the resurrected Christ came up and came to the church. Is that right?
Amen.
All right. Now, was resurrected from the dead, then Paul got a revelation. Was the revelation to the Jews or was it for the church? What was it for? Paul the Apostle. He had a revelation. And that revelation, Brother Gary, was to the church of the living God. Paul said, I magnify my office. If I tried to magnify my office tonight, I'm afraid that you would kind of put your finger on it. But Paul said, I magnify my office because I am the Gentile apostle. Is that right?
Amen.
And brother, he was.
Amen.
He was. Now, you know what made him the Gentile apostle? Somebody said, because he could work miracles. That didn't have a thing to do with it. Moses worked miracles. Elijah worked miracles. Jesus worked miracles before him.
Amen.
There was all kind of miracles. He did not come to bring a miracle to the Gentile church. That wasn't it. The church is supposed to be able to work miracles.
Amen.
And the believer is supposed to be able to work miracles.
Amen.
He's supposed to be able to lay hands on the sick and the sick recover. But he had a revelation.
Amen.
Jesus Christ, the revelated word of God, coming as Christ in Paul's heart. Coming as a spiritual revelation, he came to bring the revelated mind of God that he might instill within the people. Why? Because there was a mind that had been placed in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that mind pleased God very well. Everything that Jesus did pleased God. Every place that Jesus went pleased God. That he's done from the time he was born in the world, until the day that he ascended up to heaven, it pleased God.
Amen.
And because it pleased God, God wanted to take the same mind and put it in every member of the body.
Amen.
And we get the same results. Is that right?
Amen. Amen.
Paul came to bring us the mind of God. He came to bring us a revelation.
Amen.
He came to bring us a message. And that message was a spiritual message. It was a message of revelation. Why did Paul do that? Why did Paul bring a spiritual message? Why didn't he bring it like Elijah brought it? Can you tell them? Why didn't he bring it like Moses brought it? Because he wasn't dealing with a natural people. He was dealing with a spiritual body. He was dealing with a mystic body of Christ. He wasn't dealing with a natural Jew.
Right.
He didn't need a natural law. He was dealing with a spiritual Jew, and he needed a spiritual God with a spiritual message, which was a revelation to a spiritual church.
Amen.
That's why the Gentile people miss it. What God's doing is because all they know to do is to eat soup and beans and bread.
Amen.
All they know to do is spend all their lives worried about getting a new car and a new home and a new truck. And all they know to do is spend their time worrying with their husband or with their wife or drinking a little booze or dipping a little snuff or smoking on cigarettes. They don't understand that God is a spirit. God is a spirit. You have a relation with God as a spirit. Paul said, the God whom I serve is my spirit. God is a spirit. When I talk with God, I have to get away from the natural mind. The carnal mind is enmity with God. Because all the carnal mind is composed of God is beans and soup and bread and money and fraud. But God wants the mind of Christ within you. Without the mind of Christ, is the composition of the angelic state of God's world. It's the composition of the glories and the riches and the treasure and the beauty and the eternal life that consists in heaven. He is trying to transform these bodies from the beast state in which it has fallen, from the fall of the garden, through partaking of the beast mind through the tree of knowledge. He is trying to change it over to a spiritual body, to where it can live forever.
Amen.
An eternal body.
Amen.
Hallelujah. To where it can live If God is trying to make a change, if we would forget about our ministry, forget about our doing our thing, forget about the injustice that somebody has done to us by not letting us get up and speak our peace every time we come to church and get in the mind of God, brothers and sisters, you'd be surprised at what God would do for you.
Right.
When we come into a unit, when we come into a real body of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to notice this. Paul, when he spoke the Old Testament, he didn't speak of it like the Jews did. He didn't speak of it like Elijah did. He didn't say, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal. That wasn't the way he spoke of it. But he said, consider Abraham's wives. He said, Sarah was one of wives. The mother of us all, heavenly Jerusalem. Can you imagine a man taking a woman, talking about her being typical of the city of New Jerusalem? Then he said, consider Hagar, another wife of Abraham, symbolic of the Jews and all of Jerusalem,
amen,
which is in bondage to do to God. Isn't that the way it is today?
Amen.
You people today, what about Ishmael? What about Ishmael? In bondage to the washing of pots and pans.
Right.
In bondage to the eating of soup and corn.
Yeah.
In bondage to buying cars and lands. In bondage to trying to get an education. In bondage to everything that the world can sit down and know nothing of God. Isn't that right? That's the way you are to live. Now, I feel that if I am to obey the apostle that God put over me, Paul, he just openly stated, he said, I am the apostle of the Gentile church. I can't just imagine. Back in that day, you had about four or five of these fellows we got today. And somebody runs over their porch, their famous Paul says, and say, you don't believe in Elijah. I'm upholding Elijah's ministry. You don't believe in Moses. I'm upholding Moses' ministry. Can't you just picture that today? Right over there and say, who told you was one man over the church anyway? Can't you just imagine? I'm satisfied that Paul might have took two or three looks at him and tried to figure him out, and when he couldn't, he'd have probably walked on off and told him, Junior, you better go home, son. And he went on down the business. That was about to be dead to him. Because he would know that that fellow didn't know what he was talking about, started. Paul told him, and told people, or would have told him, and told people, he said, I am the apostle of the Gentile church. I am the apostle of the Gentile church.
Amen.
He didn't ask anybody if he could be that. He said, God, from my mother's womb, raised me up to reveal Christ in my life to the Gentile people. He told the Jews, he said, I'll leave you, and I go to the Gentile people, and they will receive me, he said. Even what he was doing, he was sure. See, he didn't spend his time arguing, trying to figure out something. He knew what he was, he knew who he was, he knew what he was sent for, and he knew what he was going to do.
Yeah.
There was no way he could say
it.
He knew it. He both said that from henceforth, there was a crown of righteousness, Paul said, that is laid up for me and for everyone that will do the will of God. He boldly stated. Those apostles didn't wonder whether or not they had eternal life. Jesus stayed openly to them. Said, when I sit upon my throne, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones beside me, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Their eternal security wasn't in question. They made sure. Now, I'm saying this tonight. This apostle, if I am to preach what he preached, if I am to be the same as he was, I'm not just going to come through and preach a jumping, shouting, hollering, running message.
Right.
I'm not going to come through and try to build just so I can take a big offering.
Amen.
If I'm obeying God, and I'm speaking the word, I'm not going to come through and jump on the every day for popping bubble gum in church. Anybody, as I said this morning, ought to know better than to come to the house of God chewing gum. Nobody ought to have to tell you that. You ought to have better sense than that.
Amen.
Give more respect to the house of God.
Amen.
Those kind of things. The way you dress, the way you act, the way you conduct yourself. You ought to know better than to come to the house and live in God like that.
Amen.
Now, nobody ought to have taken you that. Brother, if I come preaching to you, Paul said, any other thing other than what I have preached, though he be an angel, let him be a curse. As I said to you, he said, so say I again unto you, that if any man come preaching anything other than what I told you, let him be a curse. Why? Because Paul knew to be a fallen angel. Ain't no heavenly angel gonna come with a message like that. He knew it would be a fallen angel. And he wanted you to be saved. So he said, if you come, go and be an angel. Wrong message. He's wrong kind of angel. Amen. Notice this. This great preacher. This great Paul. Look how he spoke. He said, in this journey in the wilderness, he said, they drank from a rock. They drank from a rock. That's all those Jews knew, was that they drank from a rock. That's all they ever knew. When you got up in the synagogue, somebody would stand up, no doubt, and say, look, when Moses left, he brought water out of the rock, and everybody was happy over it. But when Paul came, Paul said that rock was taller than it was a spiritual rock. He said it was the rock Christ Jesus. That wasn't the rock to give water. That was Christ to give water. Who ever heard of going and tapping on a rock and the rock getting water? My brother, they ought to know better than that. If the spiritual lady know water than cry a rock, it was Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That gave forth the water. When Samson slew 1,000 men and picked up a jawbone of an ass, that jawbone didn't get in water. That was Christ in that jawbone. When all that manna rained down from heaven, that was Christ.
Amen.
Christ said, I gave you that manna to come to heaven.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying? Why then are we so carnal? Why is it that we're not spiritual? Look at this man. Had in a revelation. When he talked about a rock, he talked about a spiritual rock.
Amen.
When he talked about why he spoke about spiritual things. Always his message was spiritual. Why? Somebody tell me why. Because he was given to give people ready that would not go to the grave. He was sent to take the veil off. He was sent to a spiritual Jew. He was sent to cause somebody to understand in such a way that they would not have to die.
That's right.
That's why it was spiritual. That's why his message was different. You know the message that we're preaching today is so different from what the average individual preaches. When you go out and talk to them, why do they don't understand what you're saying?
Amen.
Look at great advancements. Right. Look at great preachers, Brother Jimmy. Men that come out of seminary. I'm a Pentecostal preacher.
Amen.
And they know nothing of spiritual revelation.
Amen.
You go into the churches and talk about spiritual revelation and to think you're all on the deep end.
Right.
They don't even know what they're talking about.
Amen.
But brother, we've got something.
Amen.
God has got something down in heaven.
Amen.
Like the vision we had with the cloud peeking down out of heaven.
Amen.
God has sent something into the servant. There's a message in the servant. There's something taking place. Behold, I show you a mystery.
Yeah.
We shall not all sleep,
Amen. But
we shall be saved. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, from mortality to immortality, from corruptible to incorruptible, from terrestrial to celestial, Paul said. Hallelujah. That rock that followed him, he said, was a spiritual rock.
Amen.
It was the rock of Christ Jesus.
Amen.
I'm glad tonight that I can drink of the water. Now, where he said the woman, he said to that woman that stood there by the well of Jacob, when he spoke to her, he said, woman, if you ask of me, I have the living water.
Amen.
Lord, don't you never thirst for your water. If you drink of this water, you'll never get thirsty, Jesus said.
Amen.
I've got this kind of water. Why is it that you didn't ask of me? If you just ask of me, I will really quench your thirst. I'm glad tonight that I can drink the living water. Jesus, that I have meat to eat that you don't know. I got some spiritual meat tonight with him. I got some meat the world don't know anything about. My meat is to do the will of him and save me, Jesus. And to finish his word. Hallelujah. That's my desire. That's my meat tonight. I have meat to eat that you don't know. Jesus boldly stated that this world is a well of water springing up within your animal speed into eternal or everlasting life. What a beautiful picture of preaching spiritual revelation when the Jews knew nothing of spiritual revelation. And even the great leaders, the great learned men said, Paul, you're crazy. You've lost your mind. What is she talking about? And he said, we're not crazy. We haven't lost our mind. But I've got a revelation. I've got a revelation for you. I've learned something. Hallelujah. I've learned something that those that's gone by didn't know. I've learned something that the patriarchs of old never did understand. All he said what they did, but they didn't. Because Paul said in his day when he waxed old, he said, thou is made known to the church. Not to the Jew, because it wasn't given to the Jew. But he said, now it's made known to the church. The manifold wisdom of God.
Amen.
What is made known to the church? The wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is made known to the church. Now that wasn't a literary teaching. That wasn't a natural teaching, because that never before Paul ever come. But you know about the law, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. Is that right? That wasn't the teaching. That wasn't the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God was the unveiled word of revelation. That's what the wisdom of God was. Look at the beauty of it. Even this morning when we spoke about the man child going up. Look at it. Look how the mind of God unveiled everything. Unveiled everything. Not one thing left. I spoke this morning concerning Einstein. How Einstein, his great theory of relativity. How Einstein, the great man of understanding that excelled above everybody's understanding. How he came to that concerning potential energy. How that he could just look at something and feel his great mind just make it decompose for their lives. Just take it apart. You take it back to atoms, the molecules, and everything that was in it. Just cause it to decompose. Elements of composition. Now here we are in the mind of the Lord Jesus. He said mind over matter. We said this morning man's mind over tangible matter. But brother, it's not man's mind. It's God's mind over matter. Amen. It's God who created the tree. It's God who created the earth. It's God who created my body. It's God's mind that has control of all matter. And today we have the mind of God.
Amen.
Let this mind be in also in Christ Jesus. To be in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Is that right? We have the mind of Christ tonight.
Amen.
Christ walked up to the wall, and the wall will be compelled to walk right through it. Hallelujah. All evening, he just looked around and surrounds, and they all vanished away and wound up in heaven.
Amen.
No Elijah said, Lord, he could so he could see. He's standing there, and the whole place called chariots, fiery chariots and prancing horses. And he said, open it up so he could see.
Amen.
And the man looked around. Then he, to his utter amazement, his eyes came open, and he saw that the place was full of angels. Tonight, this place is full of angels tonight. Angels and campground by the middle of the Lord. Brother Peter, his spirit was not. You can see that God is in the midst of two or three coming in this room. That's not a thing of speech, that's real.
Amen.
He said, open his eyes. He opened his eyes, little John, he turned around and he saw those fire chariots. And then here, as the Haggai walked along, his eyes being blinded, taking the things of the world. While another one looked in his eyes and opened and received the things of God.
Amen.
Is that right? When Elijah stepped on board that chariot and went away to the Lord. Look at Jesus. When Jesus stepped on the mountain over there close to it.
Amen.
My brother tonight, you don't know what a privilege you got.
Amen.
You don't understand. You don't know what God's done for you. You don't know what this is. You don't understand what that apostle was trying to tell you. Having been caught over to the third heaven and saw the great things of God, you don't know what you got at your fingertips tonight.
Amen.
Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible for him to believe.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what it is, whether it's raised the dead, whether it's restored a blinded eye, whether it's to speak a mountain out of existence, whether it's to move a tree. Those are supposed to be little things in the church.
Amen.
All of them are such big things. Somebody said, Brother Pike, how will we ever do it? I'll tell you what, that's supposed to be child play with church.
Amen.
We're supposed to be far greater than that.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, Joshua took his authority. And he looked up at the sun. And he said, son, stand still over Gideon. Stand still. I got a battle to fight. Stand still. And by faith, that son becomes spellbound, couldn't even move. Wasn't no way to move. Why? Because the mind of God is what placed in order. And when he had faith, it caused him to convert over into the mind of God. And it wasn't just me speaking. It was God that said, stand still. And it had to stand still. He looked over at the moon, the valley of Achillon, and he said, I got a battle to fight.
Yeah.
Stand still! And the doctor said, stand still. Why? I'll tell you right now, he was a man of like passion, same as you and I.
Yeah.
Elijah was a man of like passion, same as you and I. He had the same problems in the flesh. He had the same problems in life. He met with the same problems you meet every day. But he prayed earnestly, the Bible said. And God heard his prayer.
Amen.
The effectual, perfect prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Amen.
Tonight, you don't realize what you've got. Oh, think you'll turn his face to heaven. Begin to believe. And the power of God got so strong, it just picked him up, set him down in the valley of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, Peter stepped off forward, and the waves are raging. Took one look at the magnificence of the Word. As the Word approached him, and had faith in it.
Amen.
And when he did, he stepped out and he walked on the water.
Right.
Faith can do anything. Faith, it takes faith in God.
Amen.
Faith can do anything if we believe.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That man child, he's here. Somebody said, where? Your rod can't say fall. He's here.
Amen.
Believe. My brother, as I spoke this morning, when this mind gets in you, let this mind be in you, that it also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in
you.
Make way for this mind. Translate for thinking. Your thought pattern. Change your way of doing it.
Amen.
Let this mind be in you, that it also in Christ Jesus. What can that mind do? It can raise the dead. What can that mind do? It can heal the sick. What can it do? It can translate you into the image of God. What can it do? It can pick you up from the earth and take you up into the very presence of God. Why does the mind of Christ need you? You know what it is? You don't want that mind that tells you you've got to put on a decent dress and cover up your necks. You don't want that mind that tells you you can't suck on cigarettes.
Right.
You don't want that mind that tells you that you can't go around gossiping. Backbiting, fighting, fussing, dragging, fighting. You don't want that mind, do you? And that's where you get stuck. My brother, listen. When God takes the spiritual seed of a love that's called the Word of Life and drops that love into your heart, that love begins to radiate. And God's love begins to penetrate going through your blood genetics into your body. And it begins to radiate out through your being like it was with Moses when he glowed from within. And he had to put a veil over his face because he was so bright in the presence of people that they couldn't look upon him. And the love of God gets richer and richer. Don't you know that the same love that speaks and puts away smoking, speaks and puts away chewing, speaks and puts away the physical flesh, that same mind is the mind that's translated, transformed, transfigured into the image of God. It's the same reasons the that's coming forth that causes you to put away that evil, that same radiance that causes you to change in your thought pattern concerning the word of God. It's the same radiating force that is conforming your image, not to just be away from the body, not to come to the things of God in the natural, but it's radiating, changing, transforming, and causing you to become the image of God.
Right, man.
The glorified body of the resurrected Christ. Why is it that we don't want to put away evil from among us? Why is it that we want to have jealousy, gossip, bickering, backbiting, malice? Why do you want that? When this radiating force from within, God, the Word of Life, the Spirit of Lord, coming from within, radiating, why do you want to resist it? Why do you want to do those things when this power is radiating from within, transforming us into our image? You know how a child conforms to the image of his father? Because of the radiation of the spirit of nature, of that seed of life. And so it is from God. That is the divine radiation that's coming forth to transform, making us in the image of God, in the likeness of God, and putting away those evils is only the results of that transforming power that's all. That wonderful transforming power. I want to walk like him. I want to talk like him. I want to look like him. I want to be like him. He's everything I ever wanted.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm so glad that one day changed. And I learned about Jesus.
Amen.
I'm so thankful I learned the ways of God.
Amen.
I'm glad I was deluded, blind, wretched, miserable. Didn't know who I was and where I was going, why I was in the world. Seemingly to be against me, not understanding anything. But one day I met Jesus.
Amen.
And the glory of God transformed my life, made a new creature out of me, and brought me into a knowledge of mind and understanding, brother, that I've never known before.
Amen.
I thought about through this revival how many things took place that people apparently didn't see. How many things came here in this revival. But I would like to say something about sometimes in the service when you're on his right arm. How many different things took place here? Now I know that some of you never did see it. You know why? It wasn't because God didn't want you to see it, but the Bible tells us that he that seeketh findeth.
Hallelujah.
He that seeketh, he's the one that findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Everyone that asks him receive it. That's why you didn't get it. It's here for us. It's all around us. The beauty of my veil sitting out there the other night. Looked up here and see all nations.
Amen.
I said the other night, what is a nation? What is a nation? When veil saw the vision, what is a nation? It's a revelation. It's a revelation. When you said that every natural, tangible thing in this world, being a veil, being a shadow, being a type of that heavenly, invisible thing out there that you cannot see. And then when you get into the mind of God and you look, and then when you begin to look, you see this natural thing around you. And all of a sudden the anointing comes down and your thought pattern begins to change in the mind of God. And then as you do, that thing becomes unveiled. And you don't see it like you one time saw it.
Amen.
You saw what you see what it represents. Like Paul, he saw the vision of the rock that followed him. And he looked, the others looked at him in the natural mind. They saw a natural rock. But when Paul looked, he got a vision.
Amen.
And he looked at it, changed. He got anointed. And the mind of him changed. And instead of seeing a rock, he saw the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw what it represented. He saw what it was down with the vision. Brother, heaven is a lot closer than you think tonight.
Amen.
Angels are a lot closer than you think tonight. There is another dimension tonight, Brother Taylor. We can give it into it, but we've got to do it through the mind of Christ. If Einstein, the natural, could enter into another world through a dimensional projecting in his mind, how much more ought we as children of God be able, ought to be able to give it into the spiritual dimension of God and pass into those things? If Austin tells us tonight, people like Gina Dixon tonight, can go into a spiritual world and into a spiritual realm tonight, go into that, not serve God, not obey God, going back and tell people the thoughts of their heart and the things concerning their life. How much more are we as children of God to be able to speak things into existence and out of existence by the utterance of the mind of God?
Praise God.
We're living a long ways beneath the purpose tonight. The man child called up. What does it mean? What does it mean? Oh, what does it mean? What does it mean that he's called up? Now has come salvation. Now has come strength. Now has come the power of our God.
Amen.
What does it mean? It means that God has raptured him up in his presence. God has at last took the church into consideration. He is at last with the church. Notice how that thing worked. See Brother Carlton come in. Notice how that thing worked, my brother. Look at it. How the bomb just the other day. How did somebody kept over and over emphasizing that betrayal cone of Judas? And how over and over confusion kept coming. Problems kept coming. And how a statement was made concerning Judas and the bullpen. Out there that night. And all them things began to take place. And then look.
Yeah.
Look what happened. I spoke confidentially to some of them concerning Times. It was that the license wasn't sufficient. Times. It was to violate the law. I hope you understand what I'm saying.
Amen.
The third time.
Yeah.
When I brought the number 22 into the picture, do you understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
What happened? What took place in the night to break the law?
Amen.
You know what the cost was? 30 pieces of silver.
Amen.
You don't know what I'm saying.
Amen.
What happened?
Yes. Amen. Yes.
Something took place. Something took place.
Amen.
A first pull, a second pull. But what we need is the third pull.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And then we're going to have to die in God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Your Jesus is the disciple. They said, like Moses is the disciple. Hallelujah. Praise God. You can hand out the limbs without taking in the bed.
Amen.
But I praise God tonight because something is taking place in my brother. The man and child caught up from the John. Caught up into heaven. Caught up elevated. And caught up the man and child. What does it mean? When we are caught up in the presence of God, you say, what do you mean caught up? You say, you tell us to go to heaven. What if that means you ever since we've been born again within heaven? My brother, before the world ever was,
I
was in heaven.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Before we ever
was. Amen.
Hallelujah. Jesus said, Father, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation that I had to be anew with thee before the world ever was.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
He said, well, how do we always be? Why do you stay caught up now? Why is it that you speak of being caught up in heaven now when we've always been there? You don't have any benefits of anything until you're able to grasp.
Amen.
What about the redemption of the Bible? Don't you believe before the world ever was that God saw you redeemed, Brother Jim, if you don't ever been redeemed?
Amen.
How do you see the 144,000 in Revelation?
Amen.
How do you see the great multitude that no man could number? Don't you believe they were already glorified?
Amen.
Now you say, what do you mean, Brother Bob? I say one thing, that we have to come to an indoctrination. We have to come to a message. We have to come to an understanding before we can ever grasp the benefits of God.
Amen.
God's benefits from my faith. You understand what I'm saying? The man child called up. Now I know this is foreign to some of you, but some of you that's been teaching for months understand what I'm saying.
Amen.
Now, look at it this way. Now has come strength. Now has come salvation. Now it's come the power of our God.
Yes, Lord.
Is that right?
Yes.
Why?
Amen.
Because the accused of our brother, the accused of night and day, can't stand. Is that right? Sure, that's the way it was. Fighting for all the time.
Amen.
accusing day and night. But what happened? Judas betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. Is that right?
That's right.
But the accused of the brethren were cast down. Oh, I'm ashamed.
Yes, brother. Praise God.
But at the same time, why was he cast down? Because the man child went up.
Yes.
The man child went up.
Amen.
Look, what did I say this morning? I don't care how many mistakes you make. I don't care how many mistakes you've made. God never saw any of them.
Yes, Lord.
You say, no, why? You mean God didn't see me 2 years ago when I made that big blunder? God never saw it.
Amen.
You mean God didn't see the mistake I made today? God couldn't see it. If God can see it, that means you're not born again. If God can see your mistakes and errors, my brother, it means you're not born again. Because the man that's born again is covered with the blood. And God does never see his mistakes. Because he can't look beyond the blood.
Yes, amen.
That's right. All he ever sees is you as the body of Christ. When he sees it, he says, peace on earth and goodwill towards my brother from God. Peace on earth, goodwill toward man. Why? A Savior's born. His blood covers you.
Yes, Lord.
And there's no more sin from you to God. You're perfect, pure, without spot, without wrinkle, without any such honor in heaven and earth. God has chosen us out of this world. Here's the Christ of God, whom the heavens have received, until the time of restitution of all things. Is that right?
Amen.
So then, you say, what do you mean? I mean that if a message can be preached to you concerning your translation into heaven, if a message can be preached to you concerning your entry into the next dimension, and you can grasp it, you can understand it, and you can believe it, then, my brother, the benefits of it that was given you in the foreknowledge of God before the world was, they become effective in your life.
Amen.
This is the hour to believe. If thou canst wit the redemption of thy life, if thou can grasp through the mind of God the finished part, and it can be caught away, change words, change dimensions, and realize the accused of the brethren stands down. You say, what do you mean? I mean that when you grasp the fact that God don't see beyond the blood, where is the accuser? If you can grasp the fact that God doesn't look beyond the blood, where is the accuser that accuses the brethren? Who can lay anything but charge of God's elect? If God can't look beyond the blood, when you grasp the fact that the blood is sufficient, when you grasp the fact that those things that you ever make is covered with the blood of Christ, and that there's never been one spot, one wrinkle, one blemish against you since the day of your birth. Never. He said, Brother Pike, you mean when I went out there and committed the evils I committed, that was covered by the blood? No, that wasn't covered by the blood. But you say you just said it wrong. I couldn't say that. And if God thought that committed evil has never been born again, how could it be covered with the blood? I'm talking about people that's been born again, that stumble and stagger and error and make mistakes when they're trying to serve God. God ain't never seen one.
Thank you, Lord.
Never.
Thank you, Lord.
He never would be.